thee. The higher the rank of the spirit that you summon, the higher the sacrifice you have to pay. If you'd remained an ordinary shaman, summoning a supreme spirit of the 30th rank would have cost you all your life force. Yes, you could have summoned the spirit, but that would have sent you to the Greylands. This is why shamans came up with altars, in an attempt to placate the spirits before they are summoned. Fools! Weaklings! How could they fail to understand that we are the ones that should command the spirits, stripping them of part of their power? For a long time, I could not come to terms with such a state of affairs, until I was struck by a revelation. Where there is light, there must also be darkness. If there are spirits, there must also be those that oppose them. But who could this be? I spent a long time studying this matter, until I came upon the source of the power, a power that is the complete opposite of the spirits. So, let's not linger here. It is time we got back. Another trial awaits, and I am eager to begin your training. You will greatly outshine Midial.
Update to the Making of a Dark Shaman quest. Should you successfully complete the quest, your reputation with the supreme spirits of the higher and lower worlds will change to hatred.
A flash of light.
Now the dark mist is coming off your hair, too,
Anastaria immediately reported as soon as we reappeared in the Castle of the Fallen.
While you've been running around bumping off NPCs, Ekeler sent me a message. The United Forces of Malabar, around 40,000 fighters, have been transported by our mages to the Dark Forest. According to Killer, they'll arrive in the vicinity of the castle in about 10 minutes, so get ready for things to get rough. Killer took a scroll of Armageddon with him, so very soon this place will get a visit from the fluffy northern beastie, as Klutzer would put it. They have only one aim, to destroy the player called Mayan and prevent him from completing the trial. It looks like they didn't get the quest update like we did.
The next task, my future apprentice, continued Garanika, is to have you completely sever any ties with your shamanistic past. When I found my new source of power, I had to destroy my totem, which was the essence of the spirits of both worlds. You cannot keep your totem. Prove that you are fully ready to become one of us. Destroy your dragon.
Supreme spirits of both worlds. If I remain a shaman after all this madness, I'll be sure to give you some proper gift. If not for the penalties that you'd slapped on me for the explosion in the astral plane, I would have failed Garanika's trial for sure. I wouldn't let anyone destroy Draco.
I can't, I started to say, but was immediately interrupted by Garanika.
Are you again refusing to take your place by my side?
No, I do want to be your apprentice, but destroying my totem is beyond my power right now. It needs to be summoned. But the Supreme Spirits placed a penalty on me. For the next week and a half, I will be as powerless as the shaman of the old school.
I'm sorry I've let you down, future teacher,
but destroying the totem is impossible right now.
Old school. An excellent expression. Worth remembering. But how could you... Who on earth is that?
A battle horn seemed to sound right outside the gates. Such sounds put a series of beneficial buffs on a group or a raid and served as the signal for attack.
"Killer's here."
Anastaria played the part of Captain Obvious.
"Phoenix will break through the gates," came Hellfire's shout. "Legion!"
They'd brought the Dark Legion with them, too.
"Lay siege to the towers. Azures and heirs, the support is on you. As soon as we break through, everyone must try to destroy Mahan. He's the main target, not the Dark Ones. Battering rams and ballistae to the front. Attack when ready."
"I've thought of a different trial for you." Garanika turned to me with a playfully malicious smirk. "We can leave the totem for later. It isn't going anywhere."
With these words, my potential teacher disappeared, and the entire forest descended into a frightening silence. Even the sounds of the battle horn had died down, not daring to disturb the stillness of the forest.
"Daft hero wannabes," summed up Plinto. "Garanika froze 200 players near Beatwick. Did these morons think it would be any different here? You dared to attack my castle while I'm training my apprentice?"
The Lord of Shadow was up in the air, towering a few meters above the wall. Judging by the total lack of lightning strikes, arrows, or curses flying towards him, the players were affected by the stun debuff and were lying scattered around the ground in quiet bundles. 40,000 bodies. How on earth did they all fit in the small glade in front of the castle? Or were most of them still in the forest?
"I will not allow you to interfere with my plans. Apprentice!"
Garanika turned around, and some unknown force lifted me off the ground. Smoothly, with impressive precision, I flew to the gates and beheld an epic spectacle, a field strewn with high-level players. They were covering everything. The small glade before the gates, the forest, and the treetops were decorated with the heroic hulks of the frozen saviors of Barleona. From poor old me.
"Now I shall teach you a lesson. Watch!"
Several dozen players flew up in the air like weightless feathers picked up by a gust of wind and floated over to us. Rick from Phoenix, Etamzalat from Heirs of the Titans, and many more players I didn't know. All of them had turned up here, hell-bent on sending me for respawn. Maybe I really should just ditch the lot of them and start playing for Shadow? However today's meeting would go, 40,000 players, if Anastaria wasn't embellishing the truth, would become very hostile towards me.
"The first thing you should remember," continued Garanika in a normal voice,
"is that a shaman's chief aim is not to be paying tribute, but making full use of his opponent's life force. Spirits cannot be summoned without receiving a sacrifice first, which is why it is a given that they are weak. Now, watch my actions, and then tell me that you've understood." Dark phantoms flew out of Garanika's hands, surrounded the floating players, and in a few moments vanished. The players vanished with them, while a handful of gold — it turned out that not everyone goes for the upgraded purse option — and several items dropped to the ground. A jacket, a belt, and boots of some kind. All legendary items that have a 10% drop chance. No, The players won't just rail at me. No. I'm a goner, plain and simple.
What do you make of it?
Guernica asked me. These dark entities, which I call phantoms, were summoned and have seized their victims, I hazarded a guess. At the same time, they exact a payment, but they take it from the victim.
Don't repeat my words, interrupted Guernica. I want to hear your thoughts. Do not disappoint me, apprentice.
Apprentice? No longer future apprentice? Right. It seems that I've reached my aim. Now I just need to make good use of it.
Ding! You've received 3,844,521 new messages. Do you wish to view them?
Will they quit with the fan mail already? Where did all these letters come from? Bah! Never mind. I'll sort through them later.
The phantoms came out of your hands, teacher. I started saying the first thing that came into my head.
Like an ancient tribesman who makes a song out of what he's looking at.
They don't appear in the victims, like spirits. They live in you.
So it appears that in order to learn how to summon them, you have to go through an initiation, invite the phantoms within.
You spoke of a source, so there must be some object, a shard of which will be implanted, inlaid, engrafted, I don't know which word is appropriate here, into me.
Why a shard?
Because you're taking on an apprentice, which means that the object has not been absorbed by you completely. I'm certain that a similar shard is inside Midial.
Where is he, by the way? I haven't seen him around the castle yet.
The phantoms do not return, which means that they die.
But then, if I'm right, one would no longer be able to summon them after a certain point.
So this means that the phantoms do not die.
I don't know, teacher.
You will make a worthy apprentice, said Guernica thoughtfully, looking pleased. You are right and wrong at the same time. When those that you call phantoms have had their fill of a victim, they return back to the source. Watch my next summons and try to describe it.
Players once again floated into the air, but this time there were a lot more of them, at least 100.
The next summons that I will show you is the complete opposite.
The Lord of the Shadows continued his demonstration.
Look!
The bodies of the levitating players twisted, and phantoms began to fly out of the avatar's chests. 1, 2, 3. Soon the flying hundred was surrounded by dark entities, which vanished a few moments later. Just like the players. Another 100 less. Another light shower of gold and just one legendary item.
Do you understand what happened? Guernica asked me.
No, teacher, I admitted honestly. What happened just now completely breaks with the logic of my first theory. The phantoms didn't come from you, but from the victims.
Forgive me, teacher, but I don't understand. Honesty, Mayan, is exactly what I value the most in my subordinates. Ask if you don't know, but don't be weak. I have shown you something only I, as the master of the source, possess. None of my apprentices would be able to learn this by themselves. You've passed the test. Now you have some work ahead of you. You will have to personally destroy all
these uninvited guests, now so abundantly scattered in the vicinity of our castle. Take the knife." Guernica handed me a black blade, streaming with mist, which sported a wooden handle. It was almost the twin of the knife that was sticking out of the throne of the Malabar Emperor. "I made it safe for you, so it shouldn't take you too long to send everyone to the Greylands. Time to act, apprentice."
"Dear player, we are warning you that if you carry out this instruction after completing the Making of a Dark Shaman quest, you will either be transported to the Pryke Copper Mine, reputation with the Malabar Empire neutral or above, or to the Grohl Copper Mine, reputation with the Malabar Empire below neutral, following which you will be brought before the court. The decision whether to complete the quest remains with you. Make the right decision. Yours sincerely, Barleona Administration."
The surrounding world stopped. In complete disbelief, I kept rereading the message from the Game Administration, trying to find a single loophole. The very fact of the Game Administration addressing a player directly was nonsense, something completely unheard of. But to give me such a savage choice, either get sent to the mines while finding out the source of Guernica's power, or abandon the quest and get huge penalties for killing Yalaninka and Almas, to hell with this! I knew what would be waiting for me when I chose this path, so it's too late to change my mind now. The mines? 7.5 years? Like I give a damn! When I finally made up my mind, Guernica lowered me to the ground. "Ooh. So it looks like these days, imitators also monitor the player's resolve and act in response to that. All right, off we go. I have a lot of hard, monotonous work ahead of me." The first player I came up to turned out to be Hellfire. The dwarf was lying on the ground like a broken doll, and only his living eyes indicated that he was aware of what was happening. If the game could provide the ability to kill with a stare, I would have been incinerated on the spot. Hesitating a moment, as if still uncertain I wanted to go to the mines, I abruptly lowered the dagger, which entered Hellfire's chest right up to the hilt. Something flickered, and a shield of some kind was all that was left in place of the dwarf. Just as I was looking around the glade, thinking about how much work I had in front of me, all the players who'd rushed here to kill me were lifted up into the air and floated in the direction of the castle. Judging by Guernica's pleased smirk, it was his doing. He'd decided to give his apprentice a hand. There was little else I could do other than wave the dagger intensely left and right, sending a player to the Greylands with every blow. I dreaded to even think what was going down on the forums right now.
"Stop!" Guernica suddenly roared.
I turned around and saw Plinto standing, or rather, already lying, a few feet away.
"How dare you try to interfere with the training of my apprentice?" "You are mistaken," rasped the rogue, whose hit points had started to melt rapidly. "I intend to stick with Mayan, whatever happens. With or without you, but..."
"Teacher, stop! Plinto doesn't wish me any harm."
"Then why did he leave the castle?" asked Guernica calmly, and I typed a thank you to Barcina in clan chat for restoring half of the rogue's hit points. "Those who came for our death deserve what Mayan is doing to them right now.
said Plinto, getting up from the ground.
But it would be foolish to leave their gold and other items just lying around. Free citizens can return from the Greylands, so after some time they will return for them. They will again grow strong and bold. Why would I want that? No. No way I'm letting a prime looting opportunity like that slip away. Ha ha ha!
Guernica's pleased laughter echoed through the forest.
When I finish training Mayan, you'll become my next apprentice. Go, get your loot.
After that, the Lord of Shadow turned to me and said,
You have the right kind of subordinates, apprentice. You shall all aid me in bringing Barleona to its knees. Let us continue.
The floating players once again started to move, so I had no time for thoughts other than hit to the left, slash to the right. I had to make almost 40,000 hits. Yeah. How did that classic writer put it?
Thus, striking blow after blow, the warrior's hands did weary grow.
Apprentice, you have proven your readiness to carry out my orders without question, said Guernica about an hour later.
The flow of players did not abate, so I had to keep up being the butcher for a good while yet.
There's little sense in losing all this time, so I'll take care of the rest.
Guernica made a gesture with his hand, and the scene instantly cleared, in the sense that the 40,000 players were simply no longer there, but a real shower of gold descended to earth.
You've acquired Elephant and Pug, achievement level 8. Damage to all creatures and players plus 50 levels higher than you increased by 90%. You've acquired Killer, achievement level 8. Damage caused to other players increased by 9%.
You have completed your trials, apprentice, said Guernica, turning to me. I will give you an hour's rest before the last one. I need to prepare. You will be taken to the chambers.
Guernica disappeared, and a mage came up to each of the players in my clan and, with a respectful bow, silently pointed towards the central building in the castle. What had Guernica come up with for the last test?
Right,
said Anastaria, as we found ourselves in a cozy room. Soft armchairs, a fireplace, a small table covered with various dishes. If not for the dozen mages who stood by the walls like invisible shadows, you might have thought we'd ended up in Anhur's.
Judging by what Guernica just said, we have about an hour, so I suggest all those who can should log out and browse the forums. We have to understand what consequences the current events could have for the clan. I will try to contact some representatives of the administration and ask them what on earth made them opt for a mass killing.
No way! I'm staying here, said Plinto immediately. What can they do? Declare each of us a persona non grata? Ha! The PK system will break down. Thanks to Mayan, we're all in the same group, so I got my killer up to level 16 now. They want to keep sending us for respawn? They're welcome to try. From what I could see, not everyone's bought the updated purse yet. We've made about 4 million in an hour. Mayan, I put this money into the clan. Let the imitator allocate it all later. Whoever comes at us with a sword will get his ass perished.
All right. Stay, if you want, said Anastaria reluctantly. Barsa, will you help at least?
Yeah, I'm rather curious myself, replied the druid. But I have one question. Mayan just killed off almost 40,000 players who were 200 levels higher than him.
Why didn't we gain any experience? You don't get experience for a scenario, PK, said the paladin. Mayan, send me the video you recorded. I'll upload it to the net. Let everyone else enjoy the scene. Right, got it. The girl thanked me. I'm off. I won't be leaving the game, so if you need me, press my thumb 3 times. I've set an alarm, so I'll come right back. I'm out.
Damn, how do you set one of those things up? Asked Barcina.
But there was no one there. Anastaria had logged out.
All right, I'll be back soon.
With these words, Barcina's eyes also glazed over.
All righty, then. While everyone else is busy, let's get down to the fun part, said Plinto, rubbing his hands. Sorting through the trophies.
You do realize that you'll have to give them back, right? I reminded him.
Of course, boss. No problem. As soon as I see anyone, I'll give them their stuff back right away, said Plinto with a mischievous grin, and then handed me a leather belt. Here, have a look. This one's for you, I think.
Item acquired. Borg's Artificer's Band. Description. The great master liked to say that excellent gear is the guarantee of any victory. He spent 2 years of his life creating a belt that would make item crafting much easier. Item class, legendary. +5 to crafting. Requirements, crafting level +1.
It looks like this one came from Rick's bag. Legendary items can drop from inventory as well, said Plinto happily. So, in view of our plans for item crafting, would it make sense to give this thing back? Knockout.
It seems that I'd missed a direct hit from the right, as well as a hook and a slam down, too. Moreover, once down, I was given a good kicking to boot, because my entire inner zoo, which had been peacefully asleep the entire 2 weeks after Beatwick, suddenly woke up and penned down a note of protest, wherein all solemn seriousness it declared the impossibility of handing back such an object to any third party. Otherwise they would gnaw a hole in me and run away to join Rick. I realized that I would have to hide the belt in the bank until happier times, because it could drop from my bag, too. But it was worth having to limit my crafting to safe zones only. +5 to crafting. This was cheat mode, plain and simple.
I see that you catch my drift now, boss, said Plinto, watching my reaction. Some of the items are of no use to me, so I'll sell them and put the money back into the clan. But 2 or 3 of them, I still haven't figured out which, would come in damn useful. Where did these goons get daggers like these? Came the rogue's exclamation, as he fully immersed himself in sorting out the loot.
Yeah,
uttered Anastaria, when she came back to the game about an hour later.
Is Barca back? Yes, I'm here. So, what have you found out?
It looked like Anastaria's news was so unpleasant that she was unable to regain control over herself in reality and logged into the game in an agitated state.
If you ignore the swearing and bile aimed at the Sea Thistles clan, Barcina began, the forum is silent. There isn't a word about us. I spent half an hour sifting through messages, but except for the profanities from those that Mayan sent for respawn, and mockery of noobs who had allowed themselves to be destroyed, I haven't found a thing. What about you? I contacted Eckler, said Anastaria, and it turns out that the entire raid, just before it ported, had their quest updated. It was variable, either to destroy Mayhen, preventing him from completing the trial, or not to appear in the Dark Forest under any circumstances. As the leader of the raid, Hellfire took the decision to destroy. Aside from this, the Emperor has issued a proclamation throughout Malabar in which he asks that the Empire be kept safe from the Shaman. Yes, it was updated for those who decided to fly to the Dark Forest, but for the majority of the players, it remained the same. Destroy man. All in all, I don't understand what's going on. And also, Killer asked for the dropped items to be returned. Half of them, at least, since he understands that many of them could catch Plinto's eye and...
Rick has really blown his top? I asked the girl, who had fallen silent.
You've seen the belt, then? Yes. Rick raised such hell that Killer's going to have a rough time of it now. Hell, on the other hand, looks totally down in the dumps. We shouldn't expect any trouble from Phoenix, Legion, or the Dragons, as they will lay the blame on Hellfire for making the wrong decision. But the players from the Heirs and other smaller clans have declared war. That includes around 25,000 of those that came to the Dark Forest today, plus everyone else from their clans. So, it's going to be a rough ride from now on. Plinto, what about the items?
What the boss says goes, was the rogue's simple answer. But I'm not handing back these daggers, even if I get kicked out of the game. No way I'll let some schmuck walk around with these beauties. And as for the belt, that decision is for Mayan to make. For the rest, the price is negotiable.
All right. That's what I'll tell them, then. Has Garanika appeared yet?
No. What's with the video?
I handed it over for editing. I have a contact with the right skills. He promised to show me the rough cut tomorrow. And we've yet to survive that long, smiled Anastaria. I have no intention of switching to Shadow, by the way. I'm happy enough in Malabar.
Chicken, snorted Plinto. So, what are we waiting for? He said to the officers and Barsina. No one knows how long we'll have to wait here, so it's jumping time. Off we go. No slacking. Mayan, you're joining us too. Extra agility isn't going to hurt you.
Apprentice. Garanika appeared after about an hour.
I had no idea where Plinto got all his energy from, but mine had run out after 30 minutes, try as I might to outjump the rogue. Or are his stats for this so astronomical that I'm nowhere near catching up with him in this respect? In any case, +3 to agility was useful enough.
I am pleased to see that you don't like to waste time. I was delayed because our torture room was occupied. There is one last trial ahead of you, after which you will become a real Dark Shaman. Come.
Klutzer pressed Anastaria's thumb 3 times to return the girl, who had logged out for the 2nd time, back to the game, and our entire group followed Garanika. What had this bastard concocted this time, and what does a torture room have to do with it? I'd be heading for the mines after this quest anyway, so what difference would it make who I'd be torturing?
I think it's time to continue your training, said Garanika, as soon as we left the building and moved towards a small hut, just 2 by 2 meters square. Remember, apprentice, that there are entities other than spirits. Now I will teach you and your subordinates to summon these powers, but you will only be able to use them after training. I will implant a fragment of the crystal into each of you, and together we shall conquer all of Barleona.
You acquired a variable ability, Shadow Transformation. If the trial is completed successfully, you will allow part of the reverse side of the world within you, sending a shadow into a chosen opponent. Base Kamlani time, 5 seconds. Damage dealt, intellect 5, Points. This ability ignores all types of armor. Range, 100 meters. If you refuse to go through the trial, you combine the world of spirits and shadows, embodying one shadow into the physical world. Base Kamlani time, 5 seconds. Shadow embodiment time, 10 seconds. Ability cooldown, 1 minute. Cost of summoning, character level, hit points of the summoner. Range, 20 meters.
So, that's what we're up against. It turns out that along with spirits, their shadows also exist, which have gained some sort of corporeality. And this strange reverse side, which we've already visited, also plays a part here. Now, only the key question remains, what is this crystal, and where did Guernica get it? Never mind. We'll find out soon enough. Wow! Plinto, Barcina, Eric, and Leidy said at the same time. They used different words, of course, but the gist was the same. They were in shock. Klutzer and Anastaria controlled themselves, but one look at them made clear that they had acquired a similar ability. I wondered if it was doubled for them as well. Shadows, breathed out Anastaria, getting to grips with her emotions.
Yes, Siren, shadows, the protagonists of the reverse side of the world, confirmed Guernica. I will teach you to use them, and then no one will be able to harm you. There are no weapons that work against them in this entire world.
Shamans know how to embody them, the girl kept at it, wanting the Lord of Shadow to get even more candid. They can be easily destroyed after that.
Shamans know how to embody only the lesser shadows, which are weak and untrained. They are unable to do anything with the lieutenant.
And yet we still manage to destroy him.
I know. Using the astral plane was an exquisite solution. The light was so bright that for a very short moment, shadows ceased to exist altogether there. That's what did it. But can you tell me, future apprentice, how many shamans are there with the ability to enter the astral plane and carry out a summons there? You can't, can you? Think about that.
The small structure that we'd entered contained nothing save a spiral staircase leading downwards.
Wow. So the site had a whole underground section as well. Was this something peculiar to this castle?
Judging by Anastaria's narrowing eyes, she hadn't come across such an architectural feature during previous raids all that often.
Apprentice, Guernica addressed me once we started our descent. Now is the time you prove to me that there is only one teacher left for you in Barleona. Me. Cornick, that fool of a harbinger, is waiting for us below. He thought he was so clever, jumping all over Malabar to evade me. Stupid little goblin. I was unable to convince him to join me, so now it is time to destroy him. And no one will do it better than you. You still have the knife that you used to destroy the free citizens, so you should make a quick job of it.
Teacher, tell me, how did you create these knives? How much labor does it take to make a wonder like this?
It's a part of my flesh, so it didn't cost me anything to make it.
I don't understand. How can a dagger be made of flesh?
Guernica was holding something back. I had to find out how to free the Emperor's throne, and he was throwing riddles at me.
I will show you now. The shaman stopped, looked down at me, and said, So that you will be completely convinced, hit me with the knife. As you wish, teacher. I took out the smoking item, and, barely giving it a thought, plunged it into where Guernica's heart should have been, just in case he was wrong. The knife entered the Lord of Shadow's body up to the hilt, but judging by the man's smile, he didn't feel a shred of discomfort. Neither did he disappear as a player normally would. Moreover, just a couple of seconds after I hit him, the knife was pulled into the NPC's body, as if something was sucking it inside.
Convinced now?
There is a lot we'll have to teach you. The old school has become too deeply ingrained in you.
No matter. We shall be purging you of it shortly. Come.
After a few flights on the stair, we found ourselves in a stone room of medium proportions, lit by a dozen torches. It could be provisionally divided into two parts. The first contained a table to which Cornick was chained. He was thin and worn out, all covered in cuts, but still alive. And the second part wasn't empty either. There, chained by each of its four legs, covered all over with various tubes, devices, chains, and other incomprehensible things, stood the unicorn. Or rather, a former unicorn, because instead of a horn, it had a tube that went into the wall. Ishni, the heart of the dark forest, in the flesh.
"This is Mithyal's pride and joy," uttered Guernica as he watched Barsina's reaction.
The druid immediately tried to heal the unicorn, whose hit points were frozen on one. But the only result of her actions was a smirk from the dark shaman.
"This is the radiant Ishni, who is now busy destroying her own forest." I have to give my apprentice his due. He had no lack of imagination. It takes talent to think of taking emotions of light emanating from this relic of the past and transforming them into the mist filling this forest. A good idea. Mithyal assured me that soon the dark forest will turn into the cursed forest. You'll just have to wait a little, a year or two at the most. Come then, apprentice. You have work to do here.
Is this the moment of truth, then? Wrote Anastaria straight away. Mayan, we already gained the abilities. At least 5 classes have been renewed, so I think you can afford to fail the quest. Consider it.
But what about finding out what that crystal is, or where the shadows in the reverse side come from? How did Guernica find them? I immediately replied to the girl as I slowly followed the shaman. If there was one thing I'd learned since meeting Anastaria, it was how to use chat in a way that couldn't be detected by those around me. May not seem much, but it was an advantage all the same.
Your dagger.
A dark dagger formed in Guernica's hand, which he passed towards me.
Plunge it into the heart of this green embarrassment, and we will commence the in-depth exploration of the reverse side. We will be transported to the source of power. You'll go through the initiation, and in time, you will become my right hand, replacing Mithyal. Time to act, apprentice.
I took the dagger and slowly approached Cornick. Anastaria was right. This was the moment of truth. Now,
Either I refuse, get respawned at the Guardian's Glade, and bring Malabar the good news of the new abilities, or I kill Kornik and cross over to the Shadow. Moreover, if I refuse, the only punishment I would sustain would be being sent to the mines to await the decision of the parole committee. My reputation would not be reduced, because I would have failed the quest, so things wouldn't be too bad. I didn't have all that much to fear from several clans declaring war on me, either. I had a specially trained rogue to protect me. Now, what would happen if I complete the quest successfully? My reputation would vanish, but it's not like I'd need it anymore. Furthermore, Plinto would follow me, as would my officers. So it would just be Anastaria who would refuse, and I had to think about Barsina. I wonder, would the druid go against the rest of the world? I don't think so, somehow. 5 against several hundred million? Pfft, easy as pie. Apprentice? Guernica stepped next to me, his eyebrow raised questioningly. You hesitate? No, teacher. I am thinking. I had no desire whatsoever to kill the unconscious goblin lying in front of me, so I was playing for time. I had to gather the courage to do that for which I'd come so far. Then make me happy, apprentice, by sharing your thoughts, Guernica immediately suggested.
Mayan, I know you've probably had enough of me already, but the quest has been renewed once again.
Anastaria just couldn't help herself, by the looks of it.
Now, again, it sounds like to prevent him from completing the trial. All this gear changing is beginning to wear me down. I won't be doing anything. It's totally up to you now.
My, my! The first smart thought in a week!
A message from Plinto appeared.
Stacy, you'd better be careful with that, or you'll grow fond of this thinking thing, and may have to give up being a paladin. What had happened to carrying the light to the masses via the time-honored fist-in-the-face method?
Apprentice, have you fallen asleep?
Guernica distracted me from reading chat.
What are you thinking about?
I think it would be wrong to kill Kornik with your dagger. It seems too simple somehow, I uttered, again playing for time as my gaze combed the room for anything that might help me. But nothing caught my eye except Ishni. I wonder, is she in pain without her horn? Horns?
So what do you propose? Asked Guernica in surprise. Feed him to some beast?
No.
I smiled, having made my decision. I have a different proposal. As far as I know, the unicorn's horn is a very potent artifact of light. It would carry great symbolic meaning to destroy the harbinger of light with such an object. It might even absorb the goblin's powers, becoming even more potent than before. Although I have no idea how it could be used when dealing with shadows.
Yes, said Guernica slowly, looking pleased. For that, we must make the goblin conscious again, so that he can see his powers being sucked into the horn with his own eyes. Pain, despair, hopelessness. You are a worthy apprentice. Although you're wrong if you doubt the horn's usefulness. To destroy a harbinger of light with a unicorn's horn. Apprentice, I am proud of you.
Oh, man,
You've gained an admirer. Now at least one NPC in all of Barleona will be friendly to you.
That came from Klutzer. You could see Plinto's tutelage right away. These two should really be kept apart, or they'd catch all the worst habits from each other.
The horn.
Guernica disappeared for a moment and returned with a red velvet box.
I will now bring the Harbinger back to consciousness. Then you shall run him through, and we will go on to conquer the world.
I lifted the lid of the box and stared at Ishni's large, 30-centimeter-long, spiraling, snow-white, broken-off horn. The thing I'd be using to kill Kornik in a few moments. I hoped that the Horn of Light would absorb the shaman's essence and not allow it to be destroyed. When I manage to escape from Guernica, I'll think of a way to bring back the Harbinger. I was sure this would somehow be possible. I couldn't think of another way to both complete Guernica's task and keep Kornik alive. Well then, I just had to hope that I wasn't wrong on this.
Apprentice.
The quiet, weak, and somehow broken voice of the goblin reached my ears.
Are you with the traitor? The horn? You decided to absorb my powers? Yes. You will make a worthy Dark One. You may rejoice now, traitor.
His last words were for Guernica, who was standing at my side.
You got what you wanted. Barleona will be yours.
I always knew that, my vanquished foe, replied Guernica. Before you die, you may say your final word to your killer.
A word? Is there any point? He went through the three trials. He destroyed everything he believed in. I have nothing to say to him other than, I am disappointed.
Music! Kornik, your words are music to my ears,
smiled Guernica.
Apprentice! Don't drag your heels now.
When I heard the last words of the Harbinger, I was engulfed with anger.
He's disappointed?
So this ungrateful green bastard, whose essence I'm planning to save, is displeased? Well then, if I chose to act I must. I lifted Ishni's horn above my head and froze. It was as if time had stopped. Guernica froze. Kornik was silent, having told me everything that he thought of me. Even my clan was standing quietly aside, not daring to distract me by speaking. I looked into the brown eyes, wishing to find in them understanding. But there was only intense hatred there. Kornik believed that I had betrayed him. That's that, then. Everyone is free to think as they please. The main thing was that I finally understood what had to be done. Despite the fog of hate, the goblin still clung to the hope of staying alive. I'd better not disappoint my teacher, then, even if he does think I'm a traitor. With these thoughts, my hand went down.
No!
A scream of pain sounded throughout the entire torture room. That's it. My choice had been made.
The fluffy northern beastie of doom has landed,
Klutzer commented, just as I was being twisted in a whirlwind of changing abilities.
I agree, continued Plinto. We're toast!
Chapter 12 The Birth of the Dragon. The Making of a Dark Shaman quest has been failed. After the completion of the scenario, you will be transported to the Pryke Copper Mine. Your character has acquired a new class ability. The ability update has taken place for all players with the Shaman class.
What can I say?
When you start acting on instinct instead of logic, it can lead to some incredibly frightening stuff. My task was simple. To kill Kornik, allow Garenika to become my master, find out all his secrets, and that was it. Time for mass jubilation and rejoicing.
As if. I renounce you, apprentice,
wheezed Garenika as he fell to the floor. Shadows started to shoot out of his hands, but were immediately sucked into the horn, vanishing into it as if it were an abyss. The horn itself started to do something unbelievable. I understood that it had no plans to end up in Garenika's chest, but why would it spread this strange glow around the entire NPC? It'd end up bumping him off at this rate.
From this moment on, you will have no enemy more terrible in the whole of Barleona than me,
spat the dark shaman, and with a terrible scream tore the horn out of his chest, threw it at me, and disappeared, leaving a large puddle of dark blood behind him.
Klutzer, Eric, and Leidy, hands on the bowls! Gather the blood, Anastaria said, beginning to fire off commands straight away. Plinto, free the prisoners. I'm on the door. Barsa, heal the goblin. Mayan, you must tell us why you decided to fail everything, but later. Ah, damn.
The same glow that had enveloped me a few moments earlier was spreading to all the other clan members, with one difference. The light aura failed to disappear. I picked up Ishni's horn, Garenika's throw lacked the strength to reach me, and looked at the other players. Lit up like a bunch of Christmas trees, they were examining their properties in complete astonishment.
While we are completing the scenario, the cooldown is 0 seconds.
Eric read slowly, almost syllable by syllable, once he got back onto his feet.
Save the chit-chat for later. Plinto, hurry up! Get the prisoners out! The blood is evaporating. Quick, get it into flasks! What do you mean you don't have any? What sort of raid prep is this? Here you go. Well, that does it!
Anastaria's last shout was understandable. Three fallen vampires flew into the torture room.
Argata Urhant!
Shouted Eric, and crashed into the incoming mobs at full speed.
I'll hold them!
I even managed a smile at the idea of a level 65 tank running toward three 250-level fallen vamps and screaming that he would hold them back. But in a few seconds, my smile gave way to bewilderment. Eric was alive and well, while the vampires, the new arrivals froze as five shadows emerged around each of them. They were also frozen. At least, they weren't doing anything. So that's how future battles with Garenika's forces would go. The meaning of the 10 seconds in the ability description became clear. For 10 seconds, a shadow was vulnerable.
Take them down already, shouted Eric,
trying to destroy at least one shadow.
I'm like a gnat next to elephants.
Plinto!
Anastaria and I shouted simultaneously, hurrying to the aid of the warrior.
You really can't manage by yourselves, grumbled the rogue,
and then turned into a whirlwind,